Today's daf is daf Lamed Daled, and we're up to Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis. Here we got right up to the last piece of the Braita that we needed to explain, which was the case of Kadmu Ba'alei Chovot, which is three lines up from the bottom of Amud Beit. Kadmu Ba'alei Chovot Ve'yigibiyo. How about if the Ba'alei Chov came and collected the shor before the nizik of the tam was able to collect? So then, if it was ben chav achlo yizik, ben yizik achlo chav, lo asu v'lo klum. It doesn't matter in this case whether they had actually created the debt that they were creating before the nizik took place or after the nizik took place. It doesn't make any difference. Because of yishenu b'sharem ela b'gufo. And that's because the tashlumin to the nizik come only from the guf of the shor. Now, says the Gemara, how exactly does that follow? I mean, Bishlam Yizikat Shulchav, if indeed the Hezek comes first, so then the Nizik in Kodmu, I understand that indeed the Hezek comes first and the Nizik therefore has the first rights to this shore. Avuchav Achlo Yizik, you're telling me in the case where the Baal Chov was Kodim, the Baal Chov is Kodim because he got his debt against the shore before the Hezek even took place? You know what? I mean, I understand that. The truth is, I don't even understand the other case, actually, now that I think about it. I mean, even if you're claiming that the nezek took place before the loan, that over there, if the Baal Chov was kodim, I mean, he came first in terms of collection. What's the difference whether he came in terms of debt? Unless you're trying to tell me that Shemamina, Baal Chov, Uchav, Shekadam v'gava, Mashagava lo gava, I mean, this is a big machlokas, you know, which we've never been able to prove. It's a machlokas about whether somebody who, in fact, was the second order of the in order of the liens, and he went ahead and he collected before, whether he gets to keep it or not. I mean, what you're saying over here is that Logava, and then we'll take it away from him. I mean, even that case. So neither of these cases add up to me particularly well. Why do we say just because the Nizik has rights against the Shor, therefore the Baal Chov gets it first? In either case, even in a case where the Baal Chov wasn't cut him, I'm not convinced that it makes sense that we should say that we're doing it for him. Says the Gemara, no, no, no. Not necessarily. This is a unique case. The gava may well be that in a normal case where a Baal Chov, who is a later debt lien holder, comes along and collects his lien first, then we won't take it away from him. And b'diavad, once he did it, gava, he gets to keep it. Why here's it different? Because shani hatam, in this case, he can tell him the amalei ilu gava chavi la binachavi gavi le'haytura. I would have collected this shor. I would have collected from you. I don't care if you had it. Would have been exactly the same. Because I too had to ask you the name of Shtalamna. This shor that did me the damage, I would have collected from you anyway. Because I'm collecting it from him. So what do I care? You want to go and collect it? Go and collect it. I would have collected it from you. Anyway. Now, Stosis points out this is a very poor argument. Because I would have collected it from you anyway because of the fact that you weren't shaver it properly. I mean, what does this prove about the fact where I went and collected the shor, where I have nothing to do with the hesek? I mean, that's not a very good argument. Well, my son collected the shor after the damage. I have nothing to do with the damage. Why should I have to? What are you coming to me for? This is not an argument that's b'chayim mean anyway. So, as Tosis points out, this is Rashi's meaning as well. This is not a reason why I can collect it from you. It's just a way of bringing a raya that the shibud to a Baal Chov is not as powerful as the Shiva to an Isaac. That's all. In other words, I would have been able to take away the shor from you if the Isaac went, why? Why can't you collect for something else? Because we're talking about over here in Apotiki, basically. Even other than Rabbi Yishmael, Koshkin, only than Rabbi Akiva. So an Isaac has unique rights to a shor that was Mazik. Tundra upon it. Shor Shavamatayim, Shinagap Shor Shavamatayim. And we have our case in Mishnah. So you have now the damage, a shor goes ahead and damages another shor. They're both worth 200 zuz. The nezek was 50 zuz. V'chaval bo v'chamishim zuz. Okay, so now he owes him as a tam, 25 zuz. Now how about v'shavav v'yamad al 400 zuz? Now it's worth, price went up. We'll see later on why precisely what happened, why was it shavav. And it's now worth 400 zuz instead of 200 zuz. Yeah, so now it's still chayef to pay. Why? Because ilmalei yiziko, he can't say, well, I obviously didn't hurt you very much, now did I? I mean, as soon as my shor damaged you, it flew up in price. No, he can't say that. Because the other Makataima, look, Malayziko, Hayom and Ashwanimatus. If it hadn't been for your Hezek, so then it would have been worth maybe 800. So you're still going to pay me what you owe me. So in this case, it would be notain kishatan hezek. He would still have to pay the original 25. Now, how about if kachash? How about now if the value of the shor goes down, and now when we get to bezdin, it's worth even less than it was at the time of the nezek? So then we go kishat hamadabedin. We go according to what it is now. We're going to analyze why that's true in a moment. First, let's get all our cases straight. How about if the damaging shor, the mazik shor, went up in price? So shavach hamazik. And now the mazik is worth arba meyatzutz. Notein lo kishat hanezik, he still pays him. The nizik can't say, well, now wait a minute. Your shor used to be worth 200. I owned 1/8 of that shor because I had a right to $25 out of that $200. So I guess my chelik is going up in price as well. And now I get 50. Doesn't mean I had a right to it. Now, of course, it seems to be dependent in the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Do I actually have ownership of my shutav? But this we're going to get to see. So in that case, he nonetheless noten lo kishat hanezek. He can't claim that you have to give me 50 zuz now because some of it is worth more, and I'm an owner of the part that's worth more. So we prorate the shor, and the 25 is now doubled in value. It's now worth 50. No, we don't say that. Kachash. How about if the value of the damaging shor went down? So then kishat hamadabedin. Over there, indeed, he gives him only 1/8 of the value of what it is, because it went down in value, apparently, in his rishus. This seems to be a contradiction, but we're going to deal with it, each piece separately. Let's start at the beginning. Omar, shavach hamazik noten kishat hanezek. Let's start with the second part of the bracha. You told me that if the value of the shor that causes the damage goes up, then you, the nizik, do not have a right to say, well, my part of the shor also went up. The entire shor doubled in value. It used to be worth 200, now it's worth 800, 400, and therefore the 25 shekel that I was owed for the damage now has become 50 shekel. You're saying he can't say that. He gives him 25 the way it was at the time of the nizik. Now that implies that the nizik does not own the shor. He's not a shutta for the shor. Who is the man the Omar? Remember, in the middle of the sugya, the machlokas or Ishmael or Rabbi Akiva, as to whether we say who chalat hashor or whether we say yusam hashor, yusham hashor. Okay. So according to Rabbi Ishmael, yusham hashor, the din is that I'm not an owner. We just utilize the shor to estimate the value. Okay, the value is 25. Doesn't matter that now the shor has gone up. So that's Rabbi Ishmael. Okay. According to Rabbi Ishmael, he, the person now who owes money for damaging, is a typical balchov. The Zuzio de Maskele owes him cash. He doesn't owe him a shor. We don't literally interpret the words "Megamet Hamet Yachatzun" to mean you actually own the mate. That's how Rabbi Shmuel explained it. Okay. Continue. Ema Sefer. Now take the next piece. Kachash. If the value went down, so then you pay him only Kishat Hamadabedin. So in other words, you give him 1/8 of the value, just as it was at the time of the Amadabedin, now, no matter what. Why is that? I mean, that seems to be saying that since it lost value in the reshus of the nizik, so that's the nizik's loss. But it was the same percentage that belonged to him from the time of the hezek. So if it was 1/8 of a shor, it's still 1/8 of a shor. And if that shor is worth less, then the 1/8 is worth less. That's only works out a little bit of Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva says, should they be known? Does that make sense to you? That ratio, we say ratio, of course, being the ratio of the seif of the braita. The first statement over your benogei the mazik is works out only on liba the Rabbi Shmuel. And the Seifa only works out on Libet Rabbi Akiva? I mean, that's a little strange. He says, well, actually, Kula Rabbi Akiva. It works out fine on Libet Rabbi Akiva in its entirety. So, it does? So how can you explain the fact that if it's going on Libet Rabbi Akiva, that he doesn't share in the additional value of the shor if he's a shutter? Why is that? Ah, because Achru Haeskinan Kishat Pitzmo. It's talking about over here that the reason that the shor went up is not because the market on Shvarim changed. It's talking about that the mazik has been putting money into this shor, and that money is now translated into a fatter shor. So we're certainly not going to say that if I paid for it and I was mefatim it, that now you get the rights to my money that are now is now embedded in the shor. So therefore, even Rabbi Akiva would be moda in that case, where it's not a natural increase, that the shutef that gave the increase and paid the money, he's the one that keeps it, And the other one just keeps his chelik as it was before. Said the Gemara, okay, now let's look back to the other case, all right? Ikeshepitimo, you're talking about the case over here, is that he was mefatim the shor. How about the beginning case of the Braita? Shavach v'amad al arba mi'etzuz, noten lo kisha'at ha'nezek. Does this make sense? Now, obviously, if I paid for it, you're telling me a big chiddush. What was the big chiddush? That now the shor is worth more. Nonetheless, I only give you the same amount, and we don't say that it's doubled in value. I don't understand. What happened over here? You're saying that the nizik, the case over here, going back to the beginning of the bright, the nizik shar is now worth more. So what's the guy going to say? He's going to say, well, look at this. Your shar apparently, after it was hurt by my shar, didn't do it any harm. Now, did it? It's gotten more worth more. So we said, yes, but I mean, maybe it would have been worth 800 in the increase now because of your damage is only worth 400. You're still going to have to pay me. Well, obviously, if I've been feeding it and I've been putting money into it, you're going to turn around and say, well, I guess I didn't do much damage to it. I mean, look at this. It's worth more money. Of course it's worth more money. Out of my pocket. Well, you're sure going to give me the money that you damaged me. So, I mean, the bride couldn't possibly be talking about a case of pitmo. No, tenu kishata nezek. Ike should pitmo. You're telling me somebody in his right mind would have thought that that the mazik could turn around and say, since you've put in so much money in your shar, I don't have to pay. What? Omer of Papa. No, wait a minute. What we could say is that the Reisha, indeed, is just talking about any case of Shevach. I don't care why it was Mishtaber. Whether it was Mishtaber because you were Pitba Petumin. There, obviously, I mean, nobody would really have thought for a moment that you could come back with an argument that since you put in money, I don't have to pay you. Okay, fine, but it's still true. If Pitba Petumin, I have to pay. And it's also true in Bein Shevach and Aleila. Even if the market goes up, or this shor is now being evaluated as being more, which is a Chiddush. But both cases are true. Okay, so therefore, the only case I need to be taught, you're right, is only the part about the Shavach Memela. That nonetheless, notin lo kisha'at ha-nezek. The Seifa, there indeed, it only works out on Libet Rabbi Akiva if we're talking about that element of the case where he was mefatim and paid. But that's not so terrible. You're not changing the case. It's not that I'm changing the case. It's I'm looking at various elements of the ratio. One aspect is the chiddush. So that the Shavach Mamela is the Kiddush. In the Seifa, the Shavach Mamela can't be what we're talking about. We're talking about the Pite. But I mean, certainly it's still fair to say that the value increased to the Shar, whether the Shar, the Basa, Shar, the Nizik. Fine. Over there we focus on the Mamela, and over here we focus on the Pitmo. Okay, so now, Kochash, if the value went down, so then you pay Kisha'at Hamada Bedin. Why? Kochash Machmat Mai. I mean, if we're talking about over here, I mean, Kachashmach was Milacha. He's been using the Shar, the Nizik. So now he says, look, you know, before it was worth, when it was alive, it was worth 200. Then you went ahead now and damaged it. So now it lost 50. And then I kept working with it, so it went down another 25, and now it's much thinner. The Mazik say, I understand. Who told you to go work it? You know, you've been using it. So you are not Kachashed. What's I'm supposed to pay? Because you went ahead and used it for malacha. So don't use it for malacha. Don't charge me. That has nothing to do with me. Amravashi, no, the case of his kachash machmat makah. What happened is that the original wound got infected, and now it's worth even less than it was at the time when it received the original makah from the mazik. Where over there, the nizik can sue as at the time of Ahmad Abedin, because he says, look, as far as I'm concerned, karna de turcha kvira be, the keren of your shor is embedded in the flesh of my shor, and this is what's causing the problem, so to speak, metaphorically. Whatever it is that your keren did is still active, whether it's the activity of the weakening of the shor because of the wound or the infection of the wound that came because it's all your keren that is causing the damage. Shomer Shaveh Matai. Now, we started off, as I mentioned earlier, a very simple case. But we didn't have to get into anything. And we could say it was the case that the Torah said, you have a shor, the damage, they were equal amounts, the damage was total. So then if you take half of the live shor, you've paid chatzi nezek, if the nevel isn't worth anything, right? We said that would be the simple case, the most simple case in which we could interpret the Torah. But that's not really true. It's only true, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, as we're about to find out. So the shor shav ha-matayim, shenagach shor shav ha-matayim, Veina Nevela Yafak Lum, says Rabbi Meir. Here we go. We have now the model for the Torres case, which, of course, needs to be adapted to anything that is not exactly these conditions. But al zeh ne'emar, this is what the Torah was referring to in the posuk u'machru et hashor hachoy v'chatzur et kaspo. Omalei Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, come on. That may be what you're saying is true, but it has nothing to do with the posuk. I mean, the halacha is, yes, you've paid chatzin ezek. Thank you very much. But as far as the understanding of the pasuk, and you're claiming this is the meaning of zenem aru machrot ashor hakai, that I disagree with completely, because kiyamto machrot ashor hakai, yeah, that part is true, but you forgot about the rest of the pasuk. The rest of the pasuk says that, and there's the kitzur kaspo. The rest of the pasuk says, which we lo kiyamto, you didn't keep the rest of the pasuk, which is gamata meitiyachatzu. How about that? You're telling me there is no meitiyachatzu, there's no value. So what are you telling me? This is the case that Torah is talking about. This is not the case that Torah is talking about. So I'm just talking about a case where there was also a nevela, it was worth money, and now we're going to split the value of that nevela, and you're pretending that that pasuk doesn't exist. So let me tell you, man, what the case is in the Torah. Okay, the case in the Torah is, shor sheva matayim, shenagach shor sheva matayim, va'nevela yafar 50 zuz. Now in this case, the nevela is worth 50. Okay, so that means that the hezek was 150. So the tashlumim of chatzin hezek is 75, which of course you're agreed with. You, Rabbi Meir, agreed to that. The Nezek over here, out of 150, you're going to pay me Chatzin Nezek, you're going to pay me 75. But I say, this is how we arrive at the 75. I say, Shezenotel Chatzi Achai v'Chatzi Amit. Basically, each one of them takes half of what's left. So that what we have over here, the Nezek is 150. The Chatzin Nezek is 75. And now, when you go ahead and you take Chatzi Achai v'Chatzi Amit, what you're getting, each one is getting 125 shekel. 125 zuz is 75 zuz short of what you previously had in your shor, which was 200 zuz. And therefore, you have suffered a loss of 75, and you got back basically half of your nezek. So I was saying, I mean, it's all semantics. I mean, boy, it's not exactly the same thing. Maybe Meir says you pay half the nezek. Okay, how do we estimate half the nezek? We say, okay, in that case, the nevela is worth 50. That means the nezek is worth 150. Divide 150 by 2 equals 75. Pay him 75 out of the living shor. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's completely wrong. No. Take half of the living shor, which is 100. And then take half of the nevela, which is 25. And then that's what he's going to get now back, 125. Because you lost 75. It's exactly the same thing. So what's the difference between them? Each one says, you lose, essentially. You know, it looks like an absent next to me. Oh boy, my life is in big trouble. What he's been hoping all year wouldn't happen. So asks the Gemara, can you explain to me, please, what you just did? And the same thing. So let's go through the Braita now and see how the Gemara asks them. Tell her about it. Shor shaveh matayim. Shenagach shor shaveh matayim. V'anevela yafar 50 zuz. So this is the case that Rabbi Yehuda was talking about in the Mishnah. Zeh notel chatzi achai v'chatzi amit. V'zeh notel chatzi achai v'chatzi amit. V'zehu shor ha'amur b'torah adiv Rabbi Yehuda. So, very good. He pays now by dividing the living shor and dividing the nevela, you end up with chatzi nezek. Rabbi Meir says, no way, ain't zeh shor ha'amur b'torah. The case of the Shor HaOmer B'Torah is a Shor Sheva Matayim, Shenagach Shor Sheva Matayim, Ve'in HaNevelai HaFeklum, and Al Zeh Ne'emar U'Machrot HaShor HaChai, V'Chatzu Et Kaspo. So, how does Rabbi Meir understand the posse of the Gamet HaMeit Yechetzun? I mean, initially he wanted to ignore it, it's one thing. I mean, now he's making a point of saying, no, absolutely not, that's not what it means. It's nothing to do with the Nevela, the Nevela doesn't have anything to do with the Mazik, it only belongs to the Nevela. Forget about the Nevela. Basically, you're going to be paying chatzin nezek by splitting the living shor, which of course only works out in a case where it happens to be that the living shor is worth double the nezek. Mm-hmm. So how does he understand the pasuk? The gamet amet yechatzun. Elaman imekayim gamet amet yechatzun. The gamet amet yechatzun is coming to tell me that the pchat shepichato mita mechatzin bechay. The gamet amet yechatzun. Now there's two issues. One issue clearly is that a little Rabbi Meir, he's telling me that the mazik has absolutely nothing to do with that nevela. Keep your hands off. Right? In other words, the nevela belongs to the nizik the way it did when it was alive. It didn't suddenly change ownership just because now you killed it, your shor killed it. So it belongs to the nizik. Now the truth is,
that this was an issue that we discovered way back in the first parak, when we darshu the pasuk Vameiti Elo, and as Aaron mentioned, it says Vameiti Elo in a number of places, and here is a place where it talks about Shor Vameiti Elo, and here we go. So I know already where Rebbe Meir knows it from. As Tosis points out, so what are we discussing this pasuk? What does this pasuk mean? That all it's saying is that the hevdel between the living shor and the pchat now, which it's worth now, that's what you're going to be paying out of the shor that was mazik. So the point of the pasuk is this. That issue I don't have to learn out, that the mazik has no share. Not for sure. Matter of fact, I probably couldn't learn it out because I couldn't prove that that's what the pasuk means. I know from Hameiti Elo that the Meiti Elo belongs to the nizik. Fine. What this pasuk is coming to tell me is that the model of half of the living shor is one of two possibilities. Either v'chatzu et hashor hechai, which means that in a case where they're absolutely one half of the hezek, of the living shor is one half of the hezek, which is talking about a case of total loss of shorim that were exactly the same value, or v'gam et hameiti hachatzun, you can also, in other cases where it wouldn't be that simple, you can calculate the value of the mate based on what it was worth previously and what it's worth before, and that, chitzu, take half of that, but take half of that out of the living shor. So in other words, from this we learn that you only pay chatzi nezek, no matter what, even if there's more available in the shor hachai. And we don't say, well, if half of the shor hachai equals more than chatzi nezek, let's be generous and pay him a little bit more. I understand we can't go beyond, maybe, the chatzi nezek, the nezek shalim. But, I mean, maybe what it's saying is that, look, you're going to pay chatzi nezek and up. If there's enough in there to support a greater tashlumi when you take half of the shor, so maybe pay 73% of the nezek, if that would be chatzu et hashor achai. How do I know that it's limited to chatzi nezek? That I know because it says over here, no, v'gam. Now, there are other cases in which the mate, meaning what the difference is between the living shor and the currently dead shor, which is the hezek, yechetzun, that should be split in half and shall be taken out of the living shor. But that means that you're still only taking chatzin hezek, always, under any circumstances. So basically it would be from here that Rebbe Meir learns that you pay chatzin hezek and never a penny more than chatzin hezek. Now what's interesting is that Alibet Rebbe Yehuda, who is learning something entirely different, he's learning that there's an actual ownership, apparently, to the mazik. The mazik has something to do now with the nevelim. Now, that means that according to him, this is Ohavamin, at this point, the Gemara thinks, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't really have a pasuk that says, pay chatzi nezek. So if you manipulate the case enough and change the values of the shor hachai and the shor hameit, heck, you're going to come out with the craziest kind of things. You can end up coming out where the nizik should pay the mazik, if we're going to take it literally. But where is the modulating pasuk? I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. I see where the modulating pasuk is only going to be made. So this is what we're about to get in. But before we do, we have to obviously analyze what precisely did Rebbe Yehuda mean when he said that case does not cover the case of the Torah. The case of the Torah specifically addresses the need to recover not only from the Shor HaChai, but also to be partners in recovery from the Nevela itself. Well, what are they arguing here? I mean, if it's merely a matter of how much money you're making, they're saying exactly the same thing. They're both saying you take 75 shekel in that case, and that's what you're going to get, chatzi nezek. And you're going to get 125. Now, I don't know, either I'm going to get 125 by keeping my own shor, you know, and then being reimbursed, or I'm going to make 125 by splitting my shor and splitting that shor. But either way, I'm making 125. Does it really matter? I mean, it's same thing, says the Gemara. So now, explain to me. Mystic. Bein Rebbe Meir, Bein Rebbe Yehuda. Well, I don't care how you did this. I mean, you did it Rebbe Meir's way, or you did it Rebbe Yehuda's way. You end up with each party walking out of this accident with 125. So either the mazik is left with 125 because he took 75 shekel out of his shor and he paid, or he really didn't need to do that because and that would have meant that the nizik was left entirely, you know, dealing with his own nevela. Or he didn't need to do that and they actually split the value of the nevela. And they split the value of the shor, which comes out to 125, exactly the same way. The value of the living shor was 100, the nevela was 50, which leaves you half as 25, magically equals 125. Now imagine that. So in either case, both parties basically have 125. So what do I care how you figure it? It might be negative. So what's certainly not a semantical argument. Oh, my Rabbi, it's a massive argument over here. the difference will be Pchat Nevelah Ikebe. Now, how about if the Nevelah continues to go down in value from the time of the attack until the time that it's actually sold to the Beit Din? How about that? So, I mean, if you're telling me, the way Rabbi Yehuda is learning, that the Mazik owns the Nevelah along with the Nizik, and he has to actually be chotzer the Nevelah, so Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Pchat Nevelah, the Mazik Avi Palga. You know, Pchat Nevelah is half the Mazik's. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, what? Nevelah? The Mazik doesn't have anything to do with the Nevelah. You crazy? The Nevelah is the shard that was damaged. Why in the world? How did the Mazik suddenly get involved in the Nevelah? If you hold, I mean, that's a separate issue. Do you, who has to pay for that and so on? I learned that out of a pusuk. I make you hello, and that was the whole issue. Who's got to pay to have it hauled away and the whole thing like that? Fine. But what in the world has changed in the value of the Nevelah after the attack affect the Mazik? It's entirely the Nizik. Okay, like a tremendous nafkabina in how to understand, I mean, which translates into a heck of a lot of cash if there's been a change in the value of the corpse. I'm like, Abaye, how can it mean that? If you're claiming that we really, according to Rav Yehuda, view the mazik as sharing in the pchat nevelah, so then in Cain, Matzil, Rav Yehuda, tam chamor mimuat. Does it make sense that when it comes to a muad, where we said, Ba'ali metapli menevelah, with darshan va meiti alone, and the muad for sure is owned entirely, it's entirely the problem of the one who was damaged. And that's even in a case where it was a muad, where you would expect the Torah to be very machbir on the man who didn't watch his shor. Nonetheless, the poor guy whose shor was damaged, he's the guy that's got to deal with all of the mess. And he's the guy that's got to hire the people to haul it away. And he's the guy that's got to sell it. I mean, it's crazy. Okay, but that's the way it is. But comes along a Tom, who only pays Chatzi Nezek, and over there, suddenly, well, but in addition to Chatzi Nezek, now we're going to make the owner of the Tom more responsible than we made the owner of the muad. This does not make sense to me at all. Because, I mean, Lechara, it should be consistent. Now, maybe you'll say, no, wait a minute. What's so bad about that? I'm going to bring you a case where that happens to be true. That we're more machmer on a tam than we are on a mulat. And that is in a case where the Baalim did a shmirah pechuta. We're going to see later on what the different levels of shmirah. One level of shmirah will potter you on the tam. But it's a higher level of shmirah. And that's because of the uniqueness of the chiyav of tam, which could be that any chiyav, it turns being chiyav you more than it otherwise would have, in order to get you to be shmirah. But in any event, Rabbi Yehuda himself says over there that a tam with that level of shmirah would be chiyav, but a muad with that little level of shmirah would be potter.
No.
So you see that it's not inconsistent. So what bothers you? You're shouting at me, Rabbi Yehuda. How can Rabbi Yehuda hold that the tam would be more chomer than a muad? Rabbi Yehuda does hold that a tam is more chomer than a muad in specific cases. So if a chitam, you'll tell me, Elkinami, yes, that's exactly true. Okay, it's not, we're going to see later on in the Mishnah, the Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, there are such cases. So maybe vis-a-vis the Pchat Nevelah, that's also true. He says, well, please, don't compare the two. I mean, aim of the Shabbat and the Rabbi Yehuda, the Indian Shemirah. The issue that Rabbi Yehuda was talking about over there is what triggers the Chiyav of Tam and the Chiyav of Muad. But certainly not the Dashulim of Tam, Dashulim of Muad. Whatever the Pusik says, this is the level of Shemirah that triggers the Chiyav of Tam, this is the level of Shemirah that triggers the Chiyav of Muad. But whatever is the Chiyav, once the Chiyav is there, the Torah is more makbid on the owner of the Muad than it is on the owner of the Tam. So there, it's Linin Shemirah, the Ketive Kroy. Over there, there's Psukim that were derish, they're the Gzerot HaKatuv. So fine. But the Tashulim, Mishamatai, is there ever a case where when it comes to the payment that the Torah would be more machmer on the payment of the time than it is in the Muad? I'll prove to you that Rabbi Yehuda vehemently disagrees with such a possibility. Because a tiny Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, how about this case? Rabbi Yehuda says, Yolachol shor shaveh moneh shiragach shor shaveh chamesh sla'im v'hanevela yafasela. You might think that zeh notel chatzi achai v'chatzi amed. V'zeh notel chatzi achai v'chatzi amed. Here Rabbi Yehuda comes to examine the absurdity of his own position. Because he's claiming that the Torah is saying, and remember, we never found that he had a modulating pasuk that said, we're going to limit this to chatzi nezek, right? Okay. So all it says is, take the living shor, split it, and take the dead shor, and split it. That's all that it said. Says Rabbi, okay, so let's reduce your absurdum over here. Would you be willing to say, as a first step, says Rabbi Yehuda, that in a case where a shor that was worth 100 zuz, was nogeach a shor that was worth chamesh shloim, there's four zuz in a sela, which means that this shor was worth in total 20 zuz, right? Okay, so now the nevela was worth actually one sela. Nevela is yaf a sela, so that it's worth four. So you might think, okay, so zeh notel chatzi achai v'chatzi amei, So now let's take the shor that was shaveh mone. So now you get 50 zuz. And your shor that was originally damaged was only worth 20 zuz. So we'll take 50 zuz out of the shor that was shaveh mone, and we'll give you also the additional 2 shekel from there. So maybe we should do that too. What's the din of a muad? Is the muad there in order to be more chomer or to be more kal? I mean, obviously, this is the point over there, that the muad is going to be more chomer than the tam. So if a muad is never mishalag, certainly don't pay more than your damage. So you're going to say over here that the tam, a kal. So over here, the guy should end up paying a gigantic knas. He damaged the 20 zuz shor, and he's going to lose 50 zuz. But that's crazy. So tamakal lo shkoshkei. Now notice that he uses himself the word tamakal. In other words, so Rabbi Yehuda himself sees clearly that in terms of tashlumin, there is no way that a tam could be more chomer in tashlumin than a muad could be. Okay, so we see now Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that we cannot be more machmer on a tam than on a muad. So in the same way that obviously for tashlumin, we're not going to have the guy pay more than he damaged, than he would have paid if he was a muad. Then so too, in the case of Pchat Nevela, which is Lidit Tashlumin, it makes no sense to say that the Tam, what's the matter, there wasn't enough time for resting the Shabbos. Or maybe just the opposite. Once you got into the mode of discovering that there's such a thing as resting, so your body already got used to the idea you should rest. You're darshaning the Vai Nafesh. The Vai. Okay? So I argue against the interpretation that the nafkamina between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is Pchat Nevela. Because if it's Pchat Nevela, we're going to be machber more on Tam than Amuad. So there has to be another explanation. Okay. Well, what's the other explanation? Elo, Rabbi Yochanan, the issue is not Pchat Nevela. The issue is Shevach Nevela. How about if the value of the Nevela goes up? That's the difference. So over there, Mar Sovar the Niziku, Umar Sovar Palga the Mazik. Actually, one man Yoma holds that because this animal is, after all, a tam, we are going to let off the mazik. And we're going to say, look, Mr. Mazik, if the value of the nevela, the market changes, the value of the nevela has gone up from the time that you went in and did the shutafut, you're a shutaf. So you share in the additional value, but that's because we're letting you off since you're the owner of a tam that cost as a. Now that you understand this, that the Torah is coming to allow the mazik to get away with murder, to some extent, not only with chatzidezek, but even in this, that he might pay less than chatzidezek. This explains why Rabbi Yehuda asks elsewhere. So I didn't look akashli, Rabbi Yehuda. This explains what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. He was saying essentially this: Hashta the amr chas rachman aloya the mazik. Now that you're saying that the Torah had such rachamim on the mazik owner of the tam, the shaka b'shvacha, that he's actually able to take the shevach of the nevela if it changes. So I got another question for you. How about if a shor that was worth chamesh sla'im? So over here, it's the opposite case, the case we had before. We have a very low value shor, which is worth only 20 zuz. It goes in and it damages a shor that's worth 100 zuz. Now, the nevela is worth chamishim zuz. So that means that each one now owns 25 zuz in the shor hamet, and each one now in the shor hachai owns an additional, the shor hachai wasn't worth too much, but at least owns an additional 10 zuz, so they both walk away with 35 zuz. Kedai, make sure your shor damages. I mean, look, after all, the terms being, it's be kind to Mazik week. So be kind to Mazik week means that the Mazik can walk off with 35 shekel instead of his cheap 20 shekel shor.
Sounds like a Democrat
blessing. Very good. Say, maybe we should go all the way with be nice to Mazik, right? No, this is Rabbi Yehuda. Come on. Ask yourself. Heichan matzino Mazik niskar, she said niskar. I mean, it's one thing to be nice to Mazik, but I mean, it's only crazy liberals that would actually go out and pay the mazik, she says, and he's covered, so now we should give him schar for being a mazik. Not to mention that it does say in the Torah, Vayomer, it says over there that, oh, no, daki shor nagachu, shalem yishalem. You gotta pay. What's the double lashon? Even though it's talking about a muad, but shalem yishalem means even the gabitam. There's got to be payment. You can't say that the Balim should be, the Balim of the Shor HaMazik should not be paying, they should be taking. It's ridiculous. So Balim Mishalmim, Ve'in Balim Notlim. What's the need for this Va'omer business? I mean, obviously, you made the argument. It's a powerful argument. And obviously, we never find a case that a guy who's Mazik, I need a pasuk to say Shalim Yishalim. My Va'omer, what do I need that extra pasuk? No, because look, V'chitema, you might say, Hani mili hecha de'ikab seda le'nizik. Okay, in a case where the nizik is going to be losing, in that case, the nizik is going to be losing. Because we started off over there with the shiwaz nogeach, a shoshav emana. Now the guy, the poor nizik, is going to walk away with only 35, and the mazik is going to have 35, 15 of which is taken out of the nizik. You're right, that's mad. Okay, but how about in a case where the nizik doesn't lose anything? So maybe in that case, indeed, we should go out and give you a case. You know, let's take a case of a shor that is shoveh chamesh sla'im. And it's, so that's 20 zuz now. It goes in and it's nogeach a shor that was also worth 20 zuz. But now there was a shavach nevela. Now that's what I'm talking about. You said, be kind to mazik, week revolves around shavach nevela. We'll give him shavach nevela. So now the dead shor is worth 30 zuz, whereas before the live shor at the time of the damage only worth 20 zuz. So now we've got more value, okay? Now in this case, maybe we should split that extra value of the shavach nevela with the mazik. Let him get 5 shekel of the shavach nevela. I mean, it's not going to hurt the nizik. The nizik's anyway coming out with his full value here, right? So what's the problem? Maybe in that case, Eino Chinami, be kind to Mazik Week, extends even to shavach nevela in this case. Therefore, I add the words, shalem yishalem, look, baby, the Balim are only mishalmim. The Balim are never notling. That's the bottom line. That's that pasuk. Amalei Ravacha bar Tachlifa l'Rava. But wait, you still haven't addressed the problem. I mean, the problem is you've taken extreme cases. Okay, those extreme cases you've worked out logically or because of the pasuk. How about a case between the extremes, where the hezek, according to Rav Yehuda, comes out to be more than chatzi nezek? Because the only case where it's exactly chatzi nezek is where the two shvarim were worked out in this way. But Matayim, each one takes half, and half works out the chatzi nezek. But you can certainly imagine changes in value where maybe you won't be paying more than the hezek. That was your only argument before. You said, well, he can't pay more than the hezek because then he's going to be more chomer than mu'ah. I mean, but, okay, so let's take a case where it's 90%. Where you're taking chatzi achay, chatzi amit, works out to be 90%. So you're telling me, I'll leave it to Rav Yehuda, indeed, there's no there of chatzi nezek? Do you pay 90%, 95%, 76%?
Of the
hezek. Why not? I mean, we don't have any makar now to tell me, according to Rav Yehuda, what it is that you pay. So in Cain, Matzino Alibet Rav Yehuda, that a tam is b'shalem, yoter mi'chatzi nezek, because all you've been able to do is limit the extremes. You're not going to pay more, and you're certainly not going to take money out of damaging. Okay, fine, but how about paying more to chatzi nezek? Vatora amra u'machro et ashor echai, v'chatzu et kaspo. I mean, you're telling me there's no meaning to the idea of chetzi? No. You're misunderstanding. This is an additional diak. The truth is, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Meir's diak that the pchat of mitah is mechatzin b'chai, and that's the fundamental meaning of this pasuk. So that the pasuk is telling me chatzi nezek, and that's it. So he also holds, itle le Rabbi Yehuda pchat shepichatam mitah mechatzin b'chai. Well, how does he know that? Because it says, v'gam et amed yechatzun. Wait a minute. You told me a minute ago that ha'afke Rabbi Yehuda, zenotel chatzi achai v'chatzi amed, v'zenotel chatzi achai v'chatzi amed. You said that the meaning of the pasuk of Rabbi Yehuda is not that take half of the mitah and collect it from the living shor, but that rather the meaning of the pasuk is specifically that the mazik is meant to have half of the dead shor from where you learned out the halacha that shevach mevela goes to the mazik, and now you're turning around when I ask you, so how does he know chatzi nezek? Oh, you're saying blithely as if I'm stupid. Well, he knows that from the pasuk. How can he know that from the pasuk if the pasuk means something entirely different? No, because there's two separate rushes here. There's, first of all, it says, v'gam et amet yechatzon. So what does that mean, v'gam et amet? And let the Torah just say, v'et amet yechatzon. If you're telling me the gam et amet, so what you're saying is that there's also here a limit to the value of what's in the mate of damage, that should be yechatzon as a maximum. So therefore, it's not that Rabbi Yehuda's arguing with Rabbi Meir's chatzi nezek maximum that he agrees with. In fact, this is Tosfos's raya that that is a fundamental meaning of the pasuk. It must be alim to Rabbi Meir also. It's not that Rabbi Meir is learning from the pasuk specifically that the nizik is betapla ben avela. That he learns out from the other pasuk of Amet Yalo. So indeed, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are direct disposed to tell me the din, that whatever the nezik is, we analyze in the value of the nevela, take half of that out of the chayim. It's just that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we add an additional subsidiary definition in the pasuk, since it has two different drushes in it, to tell me, but you should know, there's also something which the mazik has now in the nevela, and that is the shevach nevela, v'akol sharir v'kayam. And then I suppose we shall do the next Mishnah tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, and let you have a pleasant Matzah Shabbat.
Even if we did the Mishnah, we'd have a pleasant.
You think so? Yeah, so we could do it then. You want to do it? Yeah. I'm happy to do it. Okay, go ahead, Mr. President. Yesh Hayava Maaseh Sharoa Petura Maaseh Atzma. You know, you could be more chayiv on what your shor does than you're chayiv on what you do. But of course, you can also be Petura Maaseh Sharoa Chayava Maaseh Atzma. I mean, for instance, Ketza, Sharo should be Yesh. Let's say your Shor embarrasses somebody. So your Shor embarrasses somebody. So then he's Pater, because I'm kind of a Nezek. We learn how to Yish Ba'amito. But who should be Yesh? Rashi, if you go ahead and you're Mavayish somebody, you're Chayim. Now, suppose your Shor goes ahead and blinds your Evet, or knocks out his tooth. So Shor should be Yesh Ba'amito. Patur, that's a special halacha, but the Evet goes free. That's how halacha is a knas of the Odeh, not of the Shor. Vashenki, the guy himself, is chayav, even it's his own mother. Shoron shekaval ba'aviv ve'imo. Let's say the Shor attacks the owner's father and mother. Well, as far as the Shor is concerned, it's just like anybody else. He's going to pay for father and mother, same thing he pays for anybody else, right? So he'd be chayav. Vashenki, if the owner attacks his father and mother, it's patur, because he's chayav mita. So how about a shor who goes along, strikes a match on Shabbos, and burns down the other guy's bar? So he'll be chayav. I mean, albeit only chatzin nezek, because most shorim don't like matches. But he doesn't have to worry about the
except in Chicago.
Except that he's not chayav on the chil Shabbos. But if he would go and burn down the other guy's thing on Shabbos, he would be putter, because in the act of burning down the gadish, he would be chayav benafsho, this is chal Shabbat. So therefore, you see, it can go in both directions. Kodmo balei chavod v'igbiu. Bein lechav, at shalo yizik, ben yizik, at shalo chav, lo asav, lo klum, lefishen, rishtalem, elam, igufo. Now, bishlem, yizik, at shalo chav. Okay, over there I can understand lo asav, lo klum, because yizik and kodmo. Chav, at shalo yizik. I mean, over there, the balchov is... And you know what, the truth is, I mean, even yizik, at shalo chav. In this case, since he collected, so balchov got him to collect. Unless you want to tell me, Shmamina, that Balchov Mulchar Shekhana Vagava Mashikava Logova? No, I don't want to tell you that. Lo Lamelamcha Mashikava may be in a normal case Gava. Vishane Atam Dom Alei, look, Ilagava Kavi, Lav Minachavi Gavile. Dai Turadaskan, Minemish Talamna. Tanurabon, Shor Sheva Matayim, Shenagak Shor Sheva Matayim, Vechaval Boba Hamishim Zuz, Vishavach Vyamaral Arbami Zuz. Still going to have to pay. Shil Malay Zikoy Omen al Shvorim Yotzuz. This is not a Kishata Nezek. Kachash, Kishata Madabedin. Shavaha Mazik, not a Kishata Nezek. Kachash, Kishata Madabedin. Now let's analyze it. Amama. Shavaha Mazik, not a Kishata Nezek. Why? Because apparently, money Rabbi Shvorim, Tamar Balchovu, Zuzi the Basically, and the Nezek has no share in that Shavah. Okay. Then explain to me the Seifa. Kachash kisha'ata madabedin, that clearly is ata'an l'Rabbi Akiva. The Omer Shutafinino. How do you get that? Reisha Rabbi Yishmael. V'sefer Rabbi Akiva? Look, kula Rabbi Akiva. How come I eskina kisha pitmo? Look all the way back in the very Reisha of the right. I'm a Reisha. Shavar v'yomen al arba me'etzuz notin lo kisha'ata nezek. Isn't that obvious? I mean, ikisha pitmo tzirkala meimah. Omre Papa, what? The Reisha Rishkakama bain the Pitma Ptumi bain the Shavach Mamela. The only thing is that only half of it is a Chiddush. I mean, it's a Chlishminan, Hech the Shavach Mamela, not in Lokishat HaNezek. Seifa is only Mashkakat La Lokisha Pitmo. And then Kachash in the Reisha, it says Kishata Manabedin. What is that talking about? Machmad Mai. When you have Kachash or Machmad Malacham, and it's insane. Leimalei, what? Atme Kachash Tava Ana Yahivna? Om Ravashi, no, clearly the case is the Kachash Machmata Makkah. The Omer Le Karna, the Turcha, Kavira Bein Maishor. There we go. Azen emaru machruat asher achai v'chatzuat kaspo. Omer le'Rabbi Yehuda, well, I can't argue on halacha, but nonetheless, kiyamta machruat asher achai v'chatzuat kaspo, but lo kiyamta v'gamat hameti achatzun. You want to understand the pasuk? He says, "Hey, that's a shor shavu matayim. Shnaga shor shavu matayim. Vanevelai afacha mishim zuz." There, zenotel chatziyachai v'chatziyamet, v'zenotel chatziyachai v'chatziyamet. Tana rabbanu shor shavu matayim. Shnaga shor shavu matayim. Vanevelai afacha mishim zuz. Zenotel chatziyachai v'chatziyamet, v'zenotel chatziyachai v'chatziyamet. V'zeu shor amur b'torah divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir omer, never. Ein zeh shor amur b'torah. So, according to Rabbi Meir, that's coming to tell me that there's a din of chatzin ezek. That nicht. Ben Rabbi Meir, Ben Rabbi Yehuda, hai mea vesim v'chamisha shakil, shakil v'hai mea vesim v'chamisha shakil, mai binayu. Omar Rava Pchat Nevela Ikabinayo. Rabbi Meir is Rava Pchat Nevela the Nizikavi. Rabbi Yehuda is Rava Pchat Nevela the Mazikavi. Palga. Omar Le Abaye. Does that make sense? You gave a single Rabbi Yehuda that a Tom is more Chomer than a Muad? Vechitema, well, maybe. Akinami. Kid, it's not Rabbi Yehuda, Ratam Chayav, a Muad Potter. Yeah, but that's only in the Shavuot of Rabbi Yehuda leaning Shmira over there, Kivik Kroy. But certainly leaning Tashlumi. Mishamatle, as a matter of fact, I can show you that he doesn't hold it. That Vatanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Yachal Shor Shavu Marashanaka Shor Shavu Chamish Slaim, Vanvelaya Fasela, that Zenotel Chatiachai Vachatiamed, Zenotel Chatiachai Vachatiamed, Amrit, Vechimuad Lama Yatsa, Lachmir Allah, Lachel Allah, Omer Lachmir Allah. So if a muad is only mishalim, mashi zik, tamaka, look, or she can't, you see, he calls it tamaka. Elom Rabbi Yochanan, shevach nevela yikvedo, not pchat nevela, mar sovet and nizikavi, Rabbi Meir, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, a tremendous hakala for the mazik, palga is the mazik. Fight of the kakashim, Rabbi Yehuda. Now that we're saying, ashamar chasrach one on Yehuda mazik, and it's be kind to mazik week, the shock of Ishvacha, so maybe even Shor Shavu Chamish Slaim, Shinagach Shor Shavu Mone, Vanavela Yavu Chamishim Zu, Zenotel Chatziach Chayv Chatziach Meit, Vizenotel Chatziach Chayv Chatziach Meit, Amrit, Abin Echam Atzidu Mazik Niskar, she's a Niskar. We can be Megal on him, we're certainly going to pay him. The Omer, not to mention, says in the Pazik Shalim Yishalim, Valim Yishalim, Ein Valim Notlim. What's this for Omer? Well, because Vakitam, Al Meachadik Pseidel and Nizik. But, I mean, there could be a case where there's no Pseidel and Nizik at all. Let's say, Shor Shavu Chamish Slaim, Shinagach Shor Shavu Chamish Slaim, the Nevela is now worth more than the Chai. It was Yavish Shloshim Zuz. So over there, I might think that Shakal Nami Mazik Bishvacha comes along a pasuk to say, Shalem Yeshalem. The Baalim never do anything but pay. Veina Baalim Notlim. Omle Ravach Bar Takliv L'Rava Inkein. Matzino the Rebbe Yehuda Tam Shalem Yoter Michatzinezek. Vatorah Amra Mokruet Ashor Achai Vechatzuet Kaspo. Oh, he'd like the Rebbe Yehuda also the other drasha that Pchat Shepichatam Mitam Mechatzin Bechai. Well, how does he know that? He knows that from Vegamat Abed Yechatzun. But after Rebbe Yehuda, I thought for Zeno Techatziachai Vechatziamed Vezeno Techatziachai Vechatziamed. Yeah, that's true, but I mean, just for this dicht of kro, the et hamet, I mean, by the gum et hamet, yechatzun, shma mina tartei.